once you open yourself up to say, I'm looking to make myself better, or I'm looking to open myself up for new experience, you're essentially opening yourself up to everything. And my whole reason for being there was not to go back to where I was. Life at the end of the day is up to you.
This is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. The College Life Podcast is here to provide you with ideas on how college students can design their life, be mindful and intentional about what they're doing while they're in college. We will also interview people who have already graduated from college, who currently work at a college, and current college students. Each guest will share their story, their struggles, their successes, and offer you tips on how to take ownership and make the most of your time while you're in college. Let's get to it. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. Today I have with me Dan, and we're going to be talking about his college experience and some things that he experienced while he was in college. So Dan, why don't you just introduce yourself a little bit and tell us how you started your, how you decided to go to college, I guess, first.
Yeah. First off, the question is, it's hard for me to answer because I currently don't know who I am. I'm either Dan Parrish or Dan Bowker. Recently got married, but haven't gotten my new Social Security card yet. So still trying to figure that one out. Yeah. But how I got started in college. So I started off college at a community college taking some online classes. And realistically, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into web design. I just wanted to essentially get the quickest degree I could because I wasn't interested in college at all. So I wanted to kind of have the fastest track to get into college and get out, because my ultimate goal for college was getting out of the small town I was in. So
me too.
The easiest way for me to do that was to get a college education, because I knew everyone that was still in the town did not have one. So I was trying to fast track that. But I have, some learning disabilities and whatnot. Through that, I got some special funding. And because of that, they would only pay for me to go to a 4-year institution. So that changed up my direction, and I went to the closest 4-year institution to my hometown, and went in for a degree that they told me was like web design, and turned out it was nothing like web design. So I was a little bit bamboozled into getting the degree I ended up getting.
Interesting.
Went there for 4 years at Western Illinois University, and then continuing on for a advanced degree in adult and higher education. Ended up not getting that degree, and then going back later on to essentially use a couple of those credits and finish up a master's in professional development. So that is the brief history of kind of how I did my educational programs.
Yeah. So one thing that we've talked about before is just different challenges that you experienced in college. So why don't you just start with, you can talk broadly about a few of them, and then we can dive into a couple of them, or you can just go ahead and start right off with like one that maybe challenged that you experienced.
There are honestly so many, and I feel like there is supposed to be so many. I feel like the point that people do not talk about for college is, to go to college, you have to be a very brave individual, especially going at a transitional time coming right out of high school, because you are learning so much about yourself during that time, and essentially you are committing to self-improvement. You are saying, I'm going to make myself better in one avenue, but what you really don't realize is that you're looking to make yourself better in multiple avenues. So the way I like to think about it, and the way that I originally heard about it, is that we are all essentially whole people. So we're a circle shape, and then we essentially open ourselves up into be a C shape. So we start off as that hole, and we open ourselves up to be that C shape. And a lot of people think about that self, and that in that C shape, we're, you know, only going to be focusing on, I'm just getting my degree and whatnot, but in the C shape, anything can flood in during that time. And whether that is new beliefs, you know, politically, religiously, socially, or whatever that is, you don't really have a filter. Once you open yourself up to say, I I'm looking to make myself better, or I'm looking to open myself up for new experience, you're essentially opening yourself up to everything. And anything that comes in, you have to filter on the back end, no longer on the front end. You no longer have your stock answer of, this isn't how things go. That's now on the back end. So props to anyone that's listening to this right now and is currently in college, because that is a hard thing to go through on any level. So for me, starting off that journey, I started off freshman year, ending first semester with a 1.7 GPA, really looking to fail out because I didn't understand how college really worked. And it took me a while to get that together and really understand why I was at college. And again, reframing that, because my mindset, you know, once you get to college, they ultimately try to talk to you about, you know, you're here for your education and all that. And that really never jived with me, because that wasn't why I was there. Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to, why are you here? And my whole reason for being there was not to go back to where I was. And that's why I had to internalize and say, you know, what's my point of this experience? What's the thing that no one else is telling me? And that's, if I fail out, ultimately I have no place to go then back to where I came. And that's the one thing I never wanted. So that's what caused me to kind of turn myself around after that first semester, is not because I had some epiphany of, oh, I'm going to be this successful person and I really want to commit to my academics. It's because I do not want to be that version of myself that stays in that hometown. And I don't want to be that person that I've seen in that hometown for 5, 10, 50 years of their life that I view as not a great life and kind of wasting away. So that was kind of how my journey of college started off, was me finding that purpose of that point of my life, was not for me to be truly academically successful, but for me to avoid going to what I felt was my worst case scenario.
So it was almost like pushing you
instead of a pull.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's interesting.
Well, and I always believe that there's two different types of people. There's people that fight for what they love and fight against what they hate. And I think fighting against what you hate is often easier, but that's always where I go first. You know, if you want to do a rally against people that, I don't know, people that punch dogs, like, I'm going to be right there. I'm going to be like, yeah, let's hate on people that punch dogs. But if you want to do it on people that are saving dogs' lives, I'm going to be like, you know, I'm just someone that, I don't fight for what I love that often, but I am so quick to fight against something I hate. And for me, that framework of, I'm not fighting for the education, I'm fighting against going back to something that I hate. I was like, all right, now I have my framework. Now I have my motivation. I found it for myself, and I found which category I'm in. So once I had it locked in, I was able to start on my path truly at that point.
Yeah.
So that's what it took for me.
So I have a couple things that I want to talk about. The first thing was, when you were in your small town, and what are some underlying, like, I don't know, vibes or messages that you feel like you got that you did not align with who you wanted to be?
Yeah. So my town was 2,600 people. So, and it was a very intolerant place for anyone that was different. And I didn't realize it then, but my identity was all built around being different. And it's something that I truly love about myself now. And it's something that...
That's so good, though, that you said that, then that you feel that now. Yeah.
And to be honest, it's something that I enjoyed about myself then. And I do not come from a strong family background. I do not talk to any of my biological family members anymore. But my friend group from back then, I still talk to every single week. We have a gaming session, which is essentially just an avenue for us to talk to each other and hang out without truly talking to each other. So we play games and we're able to socialize and catch up in an easy type of way that works for all of us. But I was blessed to have that friend group. I still am today, but they really helped me embrace who I was, and we grew together. So I did not like who the people were in the town and how they made me feel about myself and their view on being different and going against the grain. But my friend group was super great about that and really helped me embrace that, and also helped me realize, you know, what parts of me are actually me through those conversations. Mm-hmm. And it's something I do truly appreciate about that. And I was lucky to have from back then. So, does that answer that question?
Oh, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
So I also had a question about, so you said the first semester that you went to college,
yeah.
You basically, did you get on whatever quote unquote academic probation?
I did.
Or whatever?
Okay. Yeah.
So I imagine that there are students that are listening to this podcast right now that may have experienced that or are nervous that they're about to, depending on where they're at in the semester. What would you say to a student who is feeling like, is college really for mm-hmm. me? And did you ever have those feelings too?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, through every one of my programs, I had that conversation. And I would say multiple times through that, because I am not a academically focused student. I have never looked at academics from the standpoint of what academics is supposed to be. Traditional education does not work for me. And one of the big standpoints for myself is having learning disabilities. Going through the traditional academic approach, it's very hard for me to learn. It's hard to say this without sounding entitled. I'm a very intelligent person, but I do not learn through the traditional approach. So going through academics, through the traditional classroom style, read, write a paper, all that makes me feel very stupid because I don't get to showcase my intelligence. Essentially, I get to say, here's what I think this says, but not really.
Yeah.
Now, if you ask me about other items that I essentially can now gather through, educational YouTube videos or other content that I consume now on a daily basis, mm-hmm. I can spit that out like nothing, and I can form those ideas in a type of way that sounds much better than I used to be able to.
Yeah, and like really critically think
about
those things
right.
that you didn't feel like you were getting that in the traditional setting.
I did not.
Yeah.
So for me, academics has never been something that worked out for me, or really never something for me. So I guess the first thing that I would say is make the decision if it is for you, because college isn't for everyone. I think that's the first thing that your counselors, your academic counselors are not going to tell you is that
so true.
Is that this might not be the place for you. Too many people start college because they think it's the traditional path that they need to go down, when for some people it's just not true. There's other avenues that you can go to and other avenues that you can go through, and that works. Now, the decision you need to make is, are you running from a problem or towards a solution? So if you're sitting here and you just heard, I can quit college and that's okay. Let's back up a second and think about what I did just say. I just said college is not for everyone, but I want to also say, are you sitting there thinking about quitting college because you feel it is difficult and stressful? To me, that is running away from a problem. All right. Or are you saying what I'm actually learning and what I want to do in life isn't in line with these traditional educational goals? Instead, I want to go down this other path and I have this other passion that I want to pursue. I'm saying in that case, maybe college isn't right for you. So I want to make a clear distinction on that I'm not telling you just to go up and quit education just because you feel like it's too hard. Because I am all about pushing yourself to your proper limits and past it. I feel like self-development as a whole comes back to that weightlifter mentality, is that you have to essentially rip your muscles when it comes to self-development and push yourself past a limit which you feel comfortable with so you can build and regrow, and ultimately you can get to a point that you can take on more items. So the more situations that you can put yourself in that are more stressful, I feel like it's a spectrum. You see people that come into college that are like, you know, I'm going through my first time breakup and it's completely destroyed them. And you have certain students who are like, why are they even doing that? It's because they haven't had that much experience that falls on that spectrum. They haven't had that much heartache. So their spectrum is still very small. It's very narrow. Where you have all these other students that have had a lot of trauma. So when they go through things like a breakup or a bad grade, they're like, eh, like things happen. And ultimately, I think that's the mentality that we need to have. Like, so put yourself in some uncomfortable situations so you can, you know, tear some of those muscles of growth and you can rebuild. So then you can take on more things in the future. So that's ultimately what my mentality is. When it comes to that. And also, you're always going to be questioning whether your program is right for you. At least I did.
So, you should, kind of, right? Well, I think.
I mean, when I look back at people like Mother Teresa, and she was one of the fastest people that became, a saint or whatever category she is now in. It's because she journaled all of her travels through things. And in that, when they were reading through her journals and whatnot, she constantly questioned, am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right path? Mm-hmm. And you look at these people that we put up on a pedestal that are like, you know, you need to be more like Mother Teresa. Like, and she the whole time is like, am I even doing the right thing?
And that's so good. That's so powerful.
I think ultimately that's a path that we all need to be on. And we all need to constantly be questioning that. Because anytime you could have changed or your path could have changed. And I think that we all need to have that mentality to look up every now and then. And that's another piece of advice that I've got previously, not to keep on spitballing these advices that I've gotten, but that's another one, because I tend to be a lot more in my head than in life. But make sure that you look up and in a practical sense, tend to be on these hikes that, you know, you're worried about getting to that peak, that mountain, that hike. But when you're on that journey, it's great to have people around you when on a hike to say, hey, look up. And you look up and you see how beautiful it is, or you see where you're currently at and stuff like that.
Or how far you've come.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
You have those reminders, and I tend to have people around me to tell me to look up, because I'm not good at doing it myself. So I have made conscious effort to surround myself with look up people that tell me, hey, look up and realize where you've been, because, you know, I might be chasing this everlasting something that might have a physical ending, it might not, but I tend to just kind of grind away at stuff, mm-hmm. and which isn't always the best. I mean, it's good at some things, not good at others, but it's great to have people that always tell you to look up, whether that is on a hike or in life, to just say, look where you're at. And if where you're at is beautiful, take it in. If it's where you're looking is not where you want to be, let's make a change. Let's just do it.
That sounds so simple, but it is so hard, right, to do it in
real
life.
I mean, depending on who you are. For me, it is one of the hardest things to look up. And I always tell people, I'm a workhorse, not a show horse. I am someone that you do not take to a party to say, look at Dan. Like, I'm not someone that you take to a company event to say, Dan will tell you all the great things that we're doing. No, I'm someone that you leave back in the office to get the work done while everyone else is going and having fun. It's just the mentality that I have. And so I'm not someone that easily will look up, because I'm all about getting the work done. So I completely agree. It does not come easy for me. It comes easier for other people, but my wife is someone that comes very easy for her to just say, God, isn't today great? Just tell me how it is so I can have that same feeling.
Yeah.
So let's be there together. I just need a little bit of help.
Yeah, and it's awesome that you found a partner who can, you know, help challenge you and, like, yeah, encourage you and,
oh, yeah,
and vice versa, I'm sure. So, yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. That's really cool. So one thing that you talked about too is having a learning disability. Did you find out that before you went to college? How did you find support when you were in college, I guess?
Yeah, so I knew that maybe second grade, I forget what age, but essentially I was tested for it. And again, coming from a small town, not having a lot of resources, special ed all kind of gets grouped together. So it doesn't matter what your disability is, whether it's mental, physical, learning, like they just group everyone into one class and say, there you go. So I was only in special ed for 1 year until I said, I can't do this. Essentially because...
said this as like a third grader or like an elementary school?
Yeah, so this ended up being... So by the time that I got proper resources, it ended up being closer to, I think it was fifth grade.
But that is so... the fact that you were self-aware to say...
Yeah, because I wasn't learning.
Yeah.
And that was very hard for me because... Well, it was one, that I wasn't learning, but two, I wasn't able to hang out with my friends. Like, so for me, there was no benefit. Like, if I'm not getting anything out of this, then no. Like, at least in the classroom, if I'm not learning, at least I can joke around with my friends. But if you're going to put me...
Have some social interaction.
Correct. Yeah. But if I'm going to just be in a room with people that I haven't really created those connections with and those bonds, and now I just kind of have to sit there and just have someone else. It was really the point that whenever I'd ask a question, the instructor would do the work for me. Like, it wasn't about teaching me, it was about getting me through the program. And in that town that I grew up in, that's how it was for everyone. I remember talking to someone that didn't end up getting out of the class. So ultimately for me, I was only in it for a year. I still got some perks in other classes continuing on. Mm-hmm. But I tried to stay far away from it and just took lesser grades. Like, I wasn't an A student. And it was always kind of under the impression that education just wasn't for me, which learned and later on that that's not necessarily true. Just traditional education wasn't for me. But the sad reality is that there was one of the students that continued on in that program style. He ended up senior year of high school. He was just doing essentially maintenance for the school. Because we didn't have enough money to upkeep stuff, and he wasn't on an educational path to make him successful in a traditional type of way. So instead, the byproduct was, and it wasn't even through, at that point we had gotten rid of our shop classes, stuff like that. It was just, he was doing student labor for the school in terms of credits, and not getting any educational enrichment. So him and I had a conversation about that one time, and he was like, yeah, he's like, you're so lucky that you got out. He's like, because I'm leaving here with a high school diploma, but nothing more.
Jeez.
Because he didn't get any other education. Like, he doesn't really have a high school education. He knows how to fix a door and to realign some hinges, but he didn't have the fundamentals of what we were learning about physics and literature and all of that, which is so sad. Again, why I wanted to get out of that town, because if that's our mentality of pushing people through at the end of the day, instead of giving them proper resources, which I completely understand now, being older and looking at how much education gets cut and all of that.
Resources. That's what I was thinking too. Is this like the actual implementation of things?
Correct.
Is it resources?
Yeah.
It's probably a combination of both. But
right. Yeah. And I have no idea. So it's hard for me to really weigh on things too much when it comes to that. I just know in that one particular case, I had that one conversation with him. I felt so bad. And I know that he's still back in that hometown.
Yeah.
And he has never moved on. I doubt he ever will. So,
yeah. So how did you get support whenever you moved to college?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the second part of that. I was listening. When I got to college, so luckily when, like I said earlier, I got some funding to go to college,
yeah.
Which also after that first semester, got threatened to get caught completely. Because if you're not pulling grades, people just don't want to pay for you to go to college, it turns out, which is understandable.
They want it to be like a worthwhile investment, right? And they don't think that you might graduate.
So part of that was I had to keep I had to get reassessed before college. So I had to have another IEP and another assessment for that, to make sure that I was still had learning disabilities.
Properly diagnosed. Correct. All that,
right. And then when in college, I had to make sure that I met with them once a year. So for me, it was rehabilitation services. And so that was both an outside department, and they had some people there on campus, but they had essentially, I had certain accommodations that came with my learning disabilities. But I will also say that in my case, they give very great accommodations to name brand disabilities. So if you have something like dyslexia or, you know, whatever it might be, if it has a proper name with it, great. In my case, if it is a lower level or you just can't do something well enough, they did not do a great job at accommodations for that. Mm-hmm. So ultimately going in and trying to ask for help was a gamble whether how much help you would get. So for my undergrad experience, I did not go in and use a lot of those resources because they did not really, in my opinion, they did not really try to help me, and they made some resources available, but not ones that I really felt like were helping me. So I didn't end up using them a lot, but again, I put a value to everything that I do, and I kind of just weighed it out. So in terms of academic works and personal life. So one of the books I've read, Contrarian Wisdom, it was wrote by a college president. And one of the beliefs in there is that everything has a value. So whether you do something that, you know, whether you're writing a paper and it's 80%, that still has value to it. 80% isn't like, you know, that isn't a B or whatever it might be. It's still, that's 80% of the way there, that is still a value chunk. So, you know, if you're trying to decide whether to go out and hang out all weekend when you still have a paper due, the important decision to make is ahead of time. Like, you make that ahead of time, not afterwards. You don't go out and then say, oh, I still have this paper due, and then wonder, oh, why didn't I get an A? You say, this paper will probably take me 10 hours to get an A, but it will probably only take me 5 hours to get a B. Am I okay with that? If so, then the value that I'm going to put in that is the value worth of a B. So for me, knowing that if I don't have all the education, all the proper tools and whatnot, then I'm probably never going to be a straight A student. But for me, it wasn't worth putting in all this extra effort, going and talking to all, you know, the rehabilitation services and finding out how we can fine tune my program, everything specified to me. That was a whole lot of extra work. I'd rather just go through it, just essentially redefining my own process and my own plan just on my level. And then knowing that the max I'm going to be is a B student. And that's the value I'm putting on that. So for me, that's the route I went, but I still think there's value in being a B student and then able to do other things and not spending my entire career saying, I did everything right so then I could be this A student.
Yeah, that's really powerful. So you said that you had multiple challenges kind of going through college.
Correct.
And I know we've talked a little bit about like mental health and you were willing to talk about that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's just been, it's been awesome to see that there's been an increase, and I think part of it is because of awareness, and I think our culture is becoming a little bit more accepting of just seeking services, seeking support, being able to identify with something. But I just want to know kind of what was your experience when you were in college with some of that?
Yeah, so I have both depression and anxiety. And that has something, that's something that really started plaguing me once I got to college. I didn't fully understand how it affected me before college, because I was always surrounded by my friends, which was such a great support group. And I didn't really realize they were a support group till much later on in my life. But it came into full force later on. But it did affect me a little bit before that.
Because, quick, when you went to college, you probably didn't know anybody.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
Just a small town, and then you move away.
Exactly. Yes. So, I absolutely hated college. I went home every single weekend for the first 2 years of college.
For 2 years? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Every single weekend.
Wow.
And it wasn't until I then finally became an RA, got involved, that I started staying around college and started seeing the worth of college as a whole. So that's a whole nother story. But yes. So in terms of how depression and anxiety has affected me then and now, literally affects me every day. So I think one of the greatest hurdles that it took for me to get over, and one of the greatest benefits I have, is medication. So similar to what you're saying, there is more resources, but with there being more education, more conversations around it, is so much more understanding for someone to be able to take medication now to help regulate themselves. But that was a very hard thing for me, because I'm all about being my authentic self. And essentially, if I need to take a pill to be me, then what really is me? And for a while, I was like, oh no.
That is so wow. Correct. So much.
Like, at the end of the day, what results, what is me?
So that
was a hard struggle for me to get through, and I'll just kind of give you the summary of where I ended up. So hopefully that will help someone else with the struggle. I think when it's self-development, at the end of the day, you are always looking for the best version of yourself. And for me, that's what it helped me become. Though I have lost, being aggressive and annoyed and all some of these negative traits, I don't necessarily think that they are a part of me. I think that they are something that is in the ecosystem of what makes me up, but they're not part of who I am as a core person. So whether that's true or whether that's just how I've rationalized it, I don't really care anymore, because I'm a better person, and there's no way that I could live the life I do without it. So that was one of my big hurdles, was getting on medication, and then also staying on medication and not just being, oh, I feel better, let me go off of it, because I did that for a very long time and being in those cycles. So also when it comes to resources, my biological mother is a counselor, so I despise counselors, because I essentially was counseled and tricked into counseling from a very young age. So unfortunately, that was a resource that was taken away from me early on. I think I've tried it a few times, but for me, it has never really been that great because of the impact that my biological mother had on me.
Okay. So, was she trying to kind of counsel you kind of as a mom and through that?
So, yes.
She tried to persuade you to counsel.
She also took my brother and I to counseling, and then the counselor told her everything that we'd say, completely breach of confidence, because it's the counselor she picked. So she was trying to get information about my father at the time. There's a lot of reasons why I don't talk to my family anymore. But unfortunately, it kind of ruined my ability to truly trust a counselor and open
up
to them.
That makes so much sense. Oh my gosh.
Right. So I think that they are a great avenue for people, as long as you can go down that approach. I also, I have really, one of the last counselors I tried working with, one of the greatest things that they did for me is we were talking about, because at the time I was struggling with if I'm a good person. I like to really tackle these big items. Is, am I a good person that has just done bad things? Or am I a bad person that has just done good things? Because,
and then how do you define good and how do you define bad?
Correct.
There's so much there.
So I was struggling with that at the time, and in trying to really add up the amount of good things, the amount of bad things I've done. And again, this is how depression and anxiety manifest. Like, then I get into this this chaotic downward spiral of thoughts and emotions of, all right, all this is happening. Who is still going to be talking to me at the end of the day? Should I just cut ties with them because I'm more of a burden on them than I really am a positive influence in their life? Like, it, you get so far in deep than you really should go. So again, medication has really helped with that. But also, there's a reason why my core group of friends are still my core group of friends, because they have brought me out of that. And they have done a great job staying in touch with me and not me staying in touch with them. I haven't had to go back and renegotiate the social contract that we have, that they know they will reach out to me. And that makes me somewhat of a crappy friend, because I don't often reach out to them, but they also know that's how our relationship is. And they also know that I would do anything for them. So it's just how it ends up at the end of the day. But yes, so one of the great things is based on that conversation, that counselor had had like five of my closest friends write up a statement about me and send it to her about like who I am as a person and whatnot, and then read through it. And she was like, I have no idea why you would be questioning if you're a good person or not. Like, these people have like the nicest thing to say about you. And I was like, you know, that's great. I was like, but I'm still trying to, you know, figure that out. Cause it goes back to that mentality, you know, you get 1,000 compliments and one insult or one bad statement.
That or equals, bad thought.
Yeah. And that equals one bad thought. So you have the ability to process out all these other things and then just focus on that one thing. So, so yes, I have found different ways of dealing with that. And for me, being very much an introverted person, I can go into my head and I can now really focus on a lot of those things, and I can fix things inside myself now. And that has taken many years to be able to, not even master, but get a handle on, to say, all right, I'm going to pull myself out of this downward spiral. Because that's a big thing for me, is that I need to have the ability to do that. Because at the end of the day, like, I can't rely on someone else to be my happiness. And it's not even my happiness. I can't rely on someone else to fix me. I can rely on other people to help jumpstart me and to push me in the right direction, which hopefully that's what this podcast is for someone, is to push them in the right path. But you have to take the steps to really course correct for yourself. And that's what I've been able to do through a lot of, you know, internal conversations and a lot of other things, which could be, you know, another 4 hours on its own.
Yeah.
So
I guess kind of moving forward, I have so many questions and I feel like I could talk to you for a while about this, but so you talk a lot about professional development and developing yourself. What would you say to a college student who is not doing that right now, besides just kind of going to class and having the friends? Like, how can they go about even starting to develop themselves or start thinking about it?
Yeah, I think it's about thinking about the finish line. So going back to my original story, my finish line for me was not getting the degree. It was about keeping out of my hometown. So for them, is their finish line getting that job? Is it, you know, going and starting a new life? Is it to get married? Like, what is their finish line and how to get there? Because I think there's, you know, a lot of things go back to two different types of people. There's people that are internally motivated and externally motivated. I'm very much internally motivated. I have a little demon inside of me that keeps me on track, that keeps me pushing. And for internally motivated, you people are going to be fine in terms of this. You're always going to have something that pushes you and that you're going to feel like is going. For the externally motivated people, essentially, you're going to need to look for something. What is it? So in terms of, you know, professional development and that next job, are you currently ready for that next job right now? Probably not. Like, how do you get ready for that next job? You need to build up those social skills. You need to build up your professional skills. You need to build up your social networks. Like, whatever it is that's going to make you most marketable and most ready for that next job, great. If that's not what your end goal is, then what is your end goal? And then start working on that. Yeah. So it's focusing on that finish line and how to actually get there, and start making an action plan right now and start working on it right now.
And not waiting until like
correct.
Your senior year at the end of the semester to start.
Exactly. I mean, because I truly believe that you have to have your motivation in mind, like whatever that motivation is. And I don't think that motivation should be a pinpoint item. Like, my motivation really right now, it's been this way for a couple of years, is to put more good into the world than I take out of it.
That's such a good goal.
It is a good goal, and it's nice, and it's broad, and it can apply to multiple things. It is not, how can I be the best at software development within the current company I work for? And no. Let's take it back. Let's make it realistic. Let's make it nice and broad. And let's make it something that can both apply to my personal and professional life. So for me, it's focusing on that. And for you, it might be, you know, how can I make myself successful in the future? And or how can I contribute to the overall health of, you know, the state, the country, the nation, whatever that might be for you, just have a general goal in mind. Have your motivation behind that. So you have your goal. Your motivation is to essentially do that because you love working with children, or you hate working with adults, whatever that is at the end of the day, and start moving in that direction.
Yeah. Okay, so just because of time, what is one thing that you would want every student to listen to this to know about what they're experiencing right now, or something that they should do when they're in college?
So I love little tidbits of advice. Hopefully you as a listener has realized that thus far.
you've given a bunch of nuggets.
I've gotten so many nuggets through my years, and those nuggets have stayed with me, and I constantly refer back to them. So I guess for me, it would be kind of leaving it on one of those nuggets that was powerful for me for a couple of years at a time. Kind of refer back people to. Have you heard the story of the two wolf story? Okay. So, and I do a summary version of the story, but this is it's a Native American parable. Native American chief was talking to some children in the tribe, and they were saying that essentially within all of us, we have two wolves. One of the wolves is essentially represents the anger and the hatred, the jealousy that's inside of us. And the other wolf represents the love and the light and the happiness. And they're in constant battle and constant fight. And the children were asking, well, which one wins? And the chief says, well, whatever one you feed. So it goes back to, at the end of the day, whatever type of person you want to be, you have to make sure that you are embracing those values and being that person. So if you're someone that is currently getting down, you're currently maybe stressed out over that, make sure that you know that you're currently feeding that negative wolf, and it's getting stronger and it's getting bigger. And at the end of the day, that's going to be the one that wins. So what you need to do, no matter how hard it is start to feed the good wolf. Start to feed the one that's about happiness and joy and all those positive attributes. And I normally take this one step further and say that there's always a balance in life. There's always a yin and yang. There's always times to bring out that anger to get what you need to get. So it's not one wolf needs to completely overtake the other one.
Yeah.
But you do need to make a conscious effort to be that best person. And for me, that is normally doing those good things and keeping those good thoughts in mind as much as you can. If you find yourself being dragged in the darkness, feeding that negative wolf, then go ahead and turning that around and making active efforts to feed that good wolf. So for me, that is one thing to leave people with, because it is a nice general thing that can be applied to multiple times in your life. And for me, the time in the life where I got that information, I very much needed it. I was super negative at that time, and I needed to turn it around, and I needed to start feeding that good wolf and being that good person. So,
and I love that balance between like kind of just being self-aware and like, okay, I'm recognizing some of these things, but then right. I also have to take action towards them too.
Yes.
You can't just be aware of these things.
Oh, and then 100%. Just,
yeah.
Yes, and that is the other big takeaway is that life at the end of the day is up to you. So you are the one that does need to take action. And hopefully you have other people or you have this podcast to give you that jumpstart, that push, that ability to get you unstuck. But besides that, like, you're the one that needs to make the movement, needs to start seeking out resources, needs to start making the motivation, the plan, any effort to make the change. So if you have any problems, you're stuck at all, like, let someone know. Because there's tons of people around.
Yeah, and usually people are willing to help.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. If you find someone that's not, try someone else. Yeah. It turns out it goes back to that spectrum. You're going to expand out. And so you went through a little bit of crappiness by someone that wasn't able to help you. That's going to help you later on in life. Because it's going to expand out what you can put up with. So then when you get to those problems again, you're going to be like, I've been through this before. Yeah, that person's not so great, or that type of person's not so great, but that's all right. Life carries on. Let's keep it going. Let's feed that good wolf.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, too, it's hard to, like, remember that when you experience somebody who's negative energy, I guess, or who, I don't know, who reacts in a certain way that you don't, like, vibe with, they're also feeding those wolves, right? Or, like, not feeding one wolf or the other.
Yeah.
And so how what is their life and why are they like that and what's happening in their own life that, cool. You know?
Energy vampire. That's a whole nother conversation.
What is that?
An energy vampire.
Oh, like because they suck all the energy? Oh,
correct. Yes. Oh, maybe that's a part two.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you telling your story and just being vulnerable because I know that any students listening to this can get a lot out of it.
Thank you so much for listening to the College Life Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe. Have an excellent week.